Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. We're back again with another episode of Fantastic Adventures with Dean and Bertie. I'm Dean, and this is Bertie. You're right, mate.
Yeah, I'm just a bit disappointed.
You're a bit disappointed?
Yes.
That's actually quite lucky, because that is today's theme.
Whoa!
We are talking about...
Yeah,
thank you. So we are talking about disappointment.
Yes, we are.
We're going to start off with life disappointments, and then we're going to go into sort of the DC film universe. Yeah. I know people are probably like, that's a bit of a jump between, but have you fucking seen these movies?
Disappointment.
So, yeah, disappointment.
Yes, mate.
You can't spell disappointment without D.
No, you can't.
You can't.
You can't. We've got someone with us today.
We do. We have the immaculate Sammy Paul.
Hello.
Hello. He's just been here. How long have we been talking?
Silently.
Silently.
Just watching.
Hello. You disappointed?
Yeah, I'm thoroughly.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, just thoroughly. And I'm flattered that, you know, PJ came on and talked about space and Dodie came on and talked about the ocean, and then it's like, oh, Sammy's here this week?
I guess we
better talk about disappointment then.
Yeah.
There's no correlation. You are a constant disappointment, but that's got anything to do with it. It was just a coincidence.
No,
no. Yeah. And for people who don't know, Sammy Paul is a director,
yes,
a producer,
yeah,
writer,
sure,
athlete.
Yeah, yeah, big time.
Anime fan.
And big, big.
That's the main
tattoo.
One.
That was Samuel L. Jackson. That was a very different Sammy.
He's here as well.
That was a pretty niche reference, just pulling out the bag really early on.
Someone asked Samuel L. Jackson if he watched anime, and he goes, "Yes, I do, and hentai too." That won't go in, but that's
God bless him.
Yeah.
Okay. So, guys, we're going to talk about disappointment, and I think we should start with something a little bit more local.
Yeah.
Like our own disappointments in life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Does anyone want to kick off with some bummed out stories?
I mean, we was just life in general, really.
Yeah.
You adjust to adult life and you realize that it's quite disappointing.
Well, I think like an interesting metaphor for that is, I feel like Christmas is like a good way of like launching into that, because I feel like Christmas is one of the things that as a kid you realize most quickly how disappointing life just can be.
Yeah, the magic slowly fades.
Right, yeah, right.
Like, Santa Claus isn't real.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as that one's gone, spoiler, that's when it starts.
Do we remember the moment we found out? I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
It was really like, I came into the room on Christmas Eve and I'd suspected something. I think my rational brain was kicking in and I was like, fucking hang on. Hang on a bloody second. And Mum was like, I don't know. She wasn't rapping, because obviously she couldn't show me she was rapping. She was doing something, and I entered the room and I said, "Mum." She said, "Yes." She wouldn't look me in the eyes. And she was like, I was like, "Mum, is Santa real?" And she just went, "No." It was like that. Oh. But I left the room with my head held high. I know the truth now, and she was probably fucking relieved that, like, good, I can, like, wrap paper not silently like a freak. I can actually get it done properly.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was disappointing, but, you know, you've got to get over it.
Well, it adds to the disappointment that I feel like every kid's Christmas show, like every movie about Christmas, is all about keeping the faith, and it's all about sort of, you know, don't listen to the naysayers, he is real, and as long as you believe in him, he's real. And then it's like, it's just setting people up for disappointment. Like, it's
totally.
It's one thing to go, like, it's one thing to look at a movie over time and go, oh, I don't enjoy it as much, but it's the thing it's based on isn't real.
Oh,
it's
sad.
A fact that Santa Claus isn't real.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Which is, who's knocking at the window? Oh, it's old Saint Nick.
Wait, sorry. He's here.
He works at a podcast studio in the summer.
He's spraying Lynx Africa on the window.
No!
What the fuck are you doing, Santa?
Stop it.
But my dad has told me this story. So I don't remember specifically when I figured out that Santa wasn't real, but my dad once did this thing. He basically got some of that, you know, that fake snow that you get in a can and stuff like that. He put it on his boots. And so what he did, he made it, you know, plotted them up the stairs to create this footprint thing. So it was really nice.
That is fucking delightful.
Yeah, it's really nice. But then the footprints stop at my bed, which is unintentionally creepy.
Wait, why is it going all the way?
So listen, as time went on, I was like, I don't think my dad thought this through. But he says, he remembers me saying, why doesn't he leave the house?
Oh,
and
no.
And my dad couldn't think of anything. He went,
he's not real.
He disappeared. And I went, all right.
Oh, man.
That is the most delightful thing that you
did. It was really nice.
That's really sweet. Little footprints.
Yeah, but I guess...
he's still in here.
Yeah,
he's still in the house.
Do you know? Oh my god.
Yeah. You know that monster under your bed?
Yeah, not to school my dad, but that's what I would have done. He goes, why don't the footprints leave the room? Oh my god, son, you're right. Maybe he's still here.
This Christmas.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah. Pretty much the Krampus.
That's great. Like, yeah, that's
good
great.
Movie.
Yeah,
good movie.
I've heard it's good.
I don't know which of my family is going to listen to this.
Sure.
But I feel like a good sort of like visual aid of showing how like your how age works and how like life changes and how Christmas magic slowly fades away is the amount of shower gel box sets you start getting.
Mate.
Like, I didn't even know shower gel came in a box until Christmas started happening. It also revealed how little my family knew about me.
Because
like, just buy me fucking DVD.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I like films.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, they were like, give him some Lynx Africa things. But I will say, when I became a student, Box Lynx Africa was a godsend.
Right.
I was like, I did eventually become grateful, but that's only because I was becoming a boring adult.
Yeah.
So not really by choice.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to spend any money on shower gel.
So Savannah's grandma, who is the sweetest woman ever, lovely woman, Sav, when she came home the other day, brought me this gift, and it was from her grandma, and it said, for my favorite little buddy, something along those lines.
Aww.
I was like, how sweet. I opened it and it was some like Old Spice body wash kind of thing.
My.
And I thought, cool, I'm happy with that. Yeah. And Sav was like, she literally got me the same thing.
Some Old Spice?
Some Old Spice body, like body sponge wash thing. For my little buddy. Am I your little buddy, Jackie? I'm not sure anymore.
You don't know me, Jackie.
But it is like, I do feel like the whole Christmas thing, I don't mean to be a downer, but like it does feel like a metaphor for a bigger thing. You know what I mean? Like it's like, I feel like childhood is so magical and it's easy to be cynical about that. But then at the same time, I'm like, I think we need that. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, it's an escape from it all. And then I think that once you then step into the wider world, it's like, oh, everything is a bit
shit. I would love to be able to look at like everything and find wonder and mysticism in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't anymore.
Yeah.
I find mysticism in nothing now.
Yeah,
nothing. I can't remember the last like properly nice Christmas I had.
Jesus.
I haven't had a bad Christmas, but it's all just been sort of like, oh, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
You know? And I just used to be so excited for Christmas.
Yeah.
Do you know what I used to be excited for?
What?
Superhero movies. As we said earlier, we're going to talk about some other disappointing things. I'm really, really, really sorry if you are a fan of these movies. Obviously, there is no such thing as a wrong opinion.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, as we go into Justice League, I just want to say we're not going to talk about Zack Snyder in regards to Justice League because he went through a personal family tragedy.
Of course.
And as much as I don't like his films, I don't wish him a bad time.
Of course.
In fact, I hope he's having a bloody lovely day right now.
No, I'm with you on that.
No, I get that.
Zack, if you want to come on, please
do.
Call me a dickhead. You can have it for free, honestly.
Right off the bat, do you guys prefer Justice League or Batman vs Superman?
Oh, interesting.
I have my answer.
Yeah, I don't like either, but I would lean, I think, more to Justice League.
Okay.
And my reasoning for that is I think the foundations of it were very broken when Zack Snyder had to understandably step off the project.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Joss Whedon tried to do, and I'm only guessing here, is sprinkle in a bit of sprinkles on the top to kind of make the dialogue a bit snappier or that kind of thing. Now, we don't know where one person's film ends and the other began, but if you've seen enough Zack Snyder films and if you've seen enough Joss Whedon films, I think you can take a pretty educated guess as to who's responsible for what.
Yeah.
And to that end, I found it slightly more self-aware and a little bit more consistently willing to kind of take the piss out of itself.
I get that.
Batman vs. Superman occasionally has a joke in there, but my goodness, it takes itself seriously.
Yeah.
And there's so many jokes that are at the expense of character. Like, there's so many, like, for example, there's the bit where he's like, Bruce Wayne is like, is she with you? When he's talking about Wonder Woman. He's literally just been Googling her. Like, he's just researched
That's
her.
Right.
Like, he knows where she's from. It's like, it's a kind of, I say this with inverted commas, funny joke. But, like, it literally doesn't make sense.
Trailer.
Like, it literally is like, wait, no, but he knows that.
Yeah.
Whilst at least, if nothing else, like, in Justice League, it's a bit more character-affirming.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting one. It sort of goes into a bigger conversation about, like, I don't know, these kinds of movies and what value you can find, like, what you value more in them. But for me, I'm not a big fan of either of these films, but when I look at Batman vs. Superman, I see a film that has a vision, a really bizarre vision, where you make a film called Batman vs. Superman and make it about God and men and legislation and piss and a jar of piss. It's very strange, but at least I look at it and I think, it's kind of bold. I don't know if it really succeeds in that, but again, I feel like there's a vision.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
But with Justice League, because of how in it being a bit more diluted and watered down and safer, yes, I think it's probably a stronger film and a more enjoyable film to watch. But yeah, it's sort of, that's the thing. These kinds of films, above all else, probably are more successful when they strive to be crowd-pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do try to take those risks, it's a bit weird and doesn't quite work and it would be suited to a different film. So maybe I would agree with you. But it's interesting. Like, they sort
of, I can see it.
There's a different conversation for each one.
Yeah.
And
I don't enjoy,
it's like I don't enjoy them equally, but for such different reasons that I can't even, like, pit them against each other.
If somehow every beat of Batman versus Superman in what it's trying to do somehow hit for someone, they would have a great time. Like, and I kind of get that. Like it's like, if it genuinely is working for you and every single narrative beat hits the way it wants to, I kind of can see why maybe someone could have had a good time. Because it's like, oh, there's a twist and a turn and this kind of... I don't think it did hit for most people, I get what you mean. Because if you compare that to Justice League, it's like...
You're going through the
motions.
The most
painfully by the numbers.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big bad guy. He wants the three cubes. We put a team together.
Yeah.
We fight him.
Bish, bash, bosh.
And we beat him.
And we beat him.
There it is. Like, you know, that's the script meeting.
And that's like Justice League was already lacking in almost every front, though.
Right.
Because, like, at least with, like, when the Avengers happened, Loki was an established character.
All the foundations.
And had
a
relationship with Thor. That informs some scenes, so that means the villain can do more than one thing. What is it? Stevie Wonder, or whatever the bad guy is called. Steppenwolf and Garvin.
Goopy Laser and
Stevie Nicks.
I'm just going to call him Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder.
So Stevie Wonder, the bad guy, he's not related to anybody. Nobody knows who he is. He doesn't even really share any scenes with any of them.
It's bizarre.
He just has a bunch of, like, locust men.
Right.
It feels very algorithmic. It feels sort of like a computer came up with the film.
I mean, he literally looks like a video game character.
Fully.
Not even PS5. Right now.
Like, right now. Like, I could pick up Skyrim and I could go meet him.
There he is.
I could go kill him.
Stevie
finally.
Wonder.
And they defeat him at the end because that he gets scaled. Right?
Because
his underlings smell fear. So they scare him a lot.
Yeah.
They show him paranormal activity and he's like, oh my God, and then they eat him. But that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
They scare him.
Yeah.
They scare him.
I almost forget with Justice League that there's meant to be this whole thread of, like, Superman was dead as far as we're concerned and is back.
Mate. Yeah.
And it makes so little sense because if nothing else, the end shot of Batman versus Superman is the dirt being thrown on the carcass.
his rotten corpse.
On his rotten corpse.
Batman's like, good riddance.
Wow.
It's spit.
And you just start to see it float a little bit.
Okay,
so it's like, oh, okay, he's still alive. That has zero relevance to the next film and how he comes back.
They dig him up.
Yeah.
There's a jokey scene between Cyborg and I believe it's The Flash where they dig up Superman's corpse and it's treated as like... I feel like
wah, ba-da, ba-da.
Yeah, it's treated as like such a goofy moment, and then they put him in the They put like, him in the goo with the box. They use the cube to unlock him. But then he's angry for a bit.
Yeah.
Like, already, though.
As would you be.
I was sleeping.
But, like, already, though, like, thinking about that dirt rising from his grave. Surely, like, I mean, I don't know if this is in Death of Superman or anything, but, you know, because essentially he's going in, like, he's in, like, a sleep mode, essentially, isn't he? When Kryptonians?
Sure.
Get fucked up really bad, they go into, like, a sleep mode and recharge, don't they? They could have gone with something like, yo, really weird shit is happening around Superman's grave, and it's attracting attention.
That'd be cool.
Because you could literally say there are energy waves that are literally pulsing through the galaxy.
Yeah.
And Steppenwolf or Stephen Wonder, I'm going to stop pretending like I don't know his name.
Oh, he sniffs it out.
I'm going to call him something else. Gary Shepling.
Steven Universe.
That guy in Justice League.
Strepsils.
Strepsils. Yeah. The bad guy in Justice League. You know what? Like, already, I just went, yeah, duh. Yeah. Like, something weird is happening with his grave, so you can still fit the weird sleep mode thing in. I don't know, just make up some garbage about Kryptonians having to recharge in it. And because then they establish that the Earth's atmosphere already fucks with Kryptonians' things.
Yeah,
that's why they're already bloody strong. So they could have said, like, it would have made more sense.
Yeah. And that's another thing, actually, that I don't know if it's really the film's fault or if it's the Justice League as a property already, but, like, I think a thing that's fun about that final, like, 45 minutes of the original Avengers is, like, every character has their own, like, set of skills. They have their own little weapon. You know what their deal is, you know what their kind of arsenal is for fighting this enemy. All the characters in Justice League, besides the Flash, basically just fly and punch things, right? Except Superman does it harder.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
How dare you? Aquaman says, my man.
My man.
Aquaman just... It's like
he's my man.
Aquaman's action scenes in it are exactly the same as Wonder Woman's, except there's a wave behind him.
Yeah.
I can't believe you'd be so reductive to my favorite superhero.
Aquaman.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It just sort of feels like these DC movies right now, every single one is a course correction. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're trying to make like a serialized film event, like for every film to be second guessing itself and correcting the mistakes of the last one, I don't know. It's sort of like, you know, that like gif of the thing putting the train tracks under them as they run.
Yeah, the Wallace and Gromit one.
It's like that if, like, they're sort of throwing train tracks behind them, like, not even putting them on the floor, just sort of running in a field throwing
train
tracks.
Where are we going?
I don't know. Yeah. It's like that, yeah.
But that's the problem. I think it's set at such a weird point in its own universe. Like, there's the Travis Knight, you know, quote of, like, a film should be, like, the character's the most important thing that's ever happened to them. I know you've spoken about that in the past, but, like, it feels to me like the DCEU is just set in a time where everything's winding down. Like, it just feels like it's set at a time where everyone's been the superhero. Batman and Joker have had all their rivalries, you know, like, you know, because God knows we're kind of skirting around Suicide Squad. That's a whole thing in itself. But, you know, like,
about it.
It just feels like everything has sort of already happened. So, and then now they're going, oh, you know that Aquaman guy that rocked up? Oh, yeah. Oh, well, here's where he came from. Okay. Like, it doesn't feel like they're telling it with the story in mind. And I know, you could argue the MCU jumps around a tiny bit. Like, you know, we saw Captain America kind of retroactively, but that's because that led so directly into the Avengers film.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if your mission statement is to make basically a series rather than individual films, it's got to be a good series. And like, what if this was a Netflix show? What kind of batshit show establishes the main character, then has him fighting someone who we've only just been introduced to, then has all of them, and then is like, oh, and also... you know, the woman in that, here's her film. You know, like, it just...
It's so weird.
It's not made with any sort of narrative. It doesn't help that the films aren't great, but, like, it's not made with any sort of serialization in mind. And so, as a result, it's so hard to be invested in that.
They were impatient. It's the weird thing. They wanted to sort of fast-track the team-up movie.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But the thing is, like, the Avengers were so effective... Uh-huh. Because it earned its right to exist, right. Because we were getting to know all those characters over the span of like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the film came out, and like, I think we've spoken about this before, like Batman versus Superman and then by extension Justice League is just entirely banking on the knowledge of these characters in the zeitgeist. And mm-hmm. like, you know Batman, you know Superman.
Yeah,
but I don't know this Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know this...
You know the Joker.
I guess. I don't know this exactly. Flash. Yeah, I don't know, like, I know of these people, but like, mm-hmm. I think audiences are smarter than they give them credit for. I think, no, like, I understand that, like, Wonder Woman's an iconic thing, but in this context, she's a character, so I'm just going to, like, take her as a character. Like,
well, it's I think, you know, they can be good movies, but, like, if you sat someone down to watch the Marvel Cinematic Universe and you ordered it roughly in the order that DC have done, it wouldn't make sense to you. If you sat someone down
Oh my God, I want to do that.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you got someone who's never seen it to watch The Avengers, they would, I'm sure, have a good time because it's The Avengers, but be a bit like, wait, so who are these people?
Yeah.
Then go back and watch, if you retroactively watch the first Avenger, you know, Captain America, it's like, oh, okay, so that's who that guy was then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, fine. You know what I mean? It would just be like individually fine,
but
I don't know. Can you even instant? Like, I know. Granted, we're right between part one and part two, so maybe it's unfair of me. But like, in terms of the MCU, have a general gauge of what's happening right now. What situation are the characters in?
Yeah.
Leading up to Civil War. Leading up to Infinity War.
Yeah.
I get a sense of where they are. Can you tell me honestly where are we up to in the DCU right now?
Superman's alive.
Yeah, they're together.
He's friends with Batman.
Right.
Batman and Superman are together.
They make sweet. That's cool.
Yeah.
that's a tick.
Wonder Woman's working at an art gallery.
Sure.
Where do we go from here?
Like, we're now... Where do we go from here? Oh, we take a big step backwards to go and look at Aquaman. We take a big step backwards to Suicide Squad 2, which is set when? Like,
I don't know.
It's a mess.
Also, they're developing two Joker movies at the moment.
Yeah, that are totally unrelated.
Separate movies, so, right.
Which, to be fair, given the state of it, I'm like... Fine. Give me something different.
Just make movies. Just individual movies.
It feels really weird. Is it... Oh my God, I mess up his name every time, but is it Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Cracking Phoenix.
Harry Potter and the Cracking Phoenix.
So he's going to play the Joker.
Yes.
In a standalone film.
Is Scorsese producing it?
He's like a producer on it, I believe.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like...
I'm intrigued.
I'm like...
At this point...
Maybe do that.
When I read the news, I went, are Warner Brothers essentially saying, we've fucked this.
Right.
Like, we might as well just go back to standalone movies.
Sure.
Aquaman's going to be the last one.
Because
past Aquaman, apart from Shazam, which we will touch on in a minute, that's sort of the more positive side of this discussion.
Yeah.
There's a Wonder Woman.
Yeah, there's a new Wonder Woman film.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Set in the 80s.
Sure.
Set in the 80s again. So it's there's no greater plot going on.
Yeah, it's not...
It's just gone back.
Suicide Squad 2, which I have no idea when that's set.
Yeah.
And it's... I really don't know.
Margot Robbie's producing Birds of Prey, it's called.
Sure.
I figured that out by myself. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing to do with producer Paddy. Yeah, so Margot Robbie's producing that and obviously starring in it with a bunch of other people.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's happening.
Great.
Do you
feel like you've seen the relationship between the Joker and Harley Quinn? Because I feel like I was playing a video game where someone was skipping the cutscenes.
A little bit.
Because it would be like, here's the scene where they talk to each other and she first falls in love with... Oh, no, sorry, there's a panda with a machine gun and they're breaking out of the... Oh, okay, no, they're in a vat of acid and they're...
Okay.
Oh, okay, now he's a mobster and he's the king of the world. Like,
truly the most I've ever cringed in the cinema in my life. Truly, like, I felt so uncomfortable when I saw it. There's the bit where Harley Quinn is introduced to Katana, right? Who's the one with the sword. And he goes, "This is Katana. She's got my back. Her sword traps the souls of its victims." Mm-hmm. Harley Quinn puts her hand out and goes, "Pleased to meet you. I like your perfume. Is that the scent of death?" And the silence across the audience. And even in the scene, it just holds on a little bit too long. Yeah. And although, I just... Whoa, whoa.
Although, special memory from the Suicide Squad premiere.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
So, very special moment, and I'm very happy about it.
You were there. You witnessed it.
I thank every day for this.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
The cast of the Suicide Squad came on stage. Will Smith is there. That was kind of cool. Will Smith in the flesh.
Yeah.
He decided to get the crowd going, and he wanted to basically he shouted "Suicide," and he wanted the crowd to shout "Squad."
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't think Will Smith realized that no one had seen this bloody film yet, and so no one cared. So it was just Will Smith shouting "Suicide, suicide, suicide," and I was crying.
That was upsetting.
I was like clapping. I was just like, God bless. I was like, I can't wait to show up on Reddit. And just what it was.
It was.
I saw it in a cringe comp.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember when this is a bit a quick divertation?
Quick divertation.
Yes. Do you remember when Tom Hiddleston at the premiere for Kong Skull Island described it as a classic monster munch?
Yeah, he said the movie was a bit of a classic monster munch.
He meant a monster mash.
Meant a monster mash, but he said monster munch.
And I was like, golden. Yes, give me this film now.
Give me this classic monster munch.
Give it to me. I want some monster munch.
It was so cool to see Tommy Wilson be cringy.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Awesome. That was better than the movie.
Yeah. Okay, shall we talk about these trailers?
Yeah.
Okay, we're still talking about the DC thing.
Mm. Let's try and find the light, if there's any.
Okay. Then we'll start with Shazam.
Let's start with Shazam, yeah.
Or Shazam. As I like to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Shazam Chasm.
When I watched this trailer, I was struck by like how visually it doesn't look as like glossy as the other films. It almost looks like it's shot like a sort of comedy movie, which was cute. I was quite disappointed because there are bits in the film where you see fairy lights and stuff. It sort of looks like it takes place at Christmas. And I was like, oh my God, is this going to be like a Christmas film? That's going to be adorable. It's not, but that's okay. And people keep comparing it to Big. And honestly, like, the story of, like, a kid who just becomes a superhero and, like, messes around with his friend.
He shouts the word Shazam and becomes a big, strong man.
Like, and it seems self-aware enough that, like, it seems kind of cute.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, like, it wasn't the worst thing. There was one joke I think he said about he doesn't know how the suit works. Mm-hmm. And he goes, man, I don't know how to pee in this thing.
Yeah, I mean.
And I was like, oh, put that in the bin. I mean, that's just a trailer game.
Iron Man, like, I feel like Iron Man's made that joke 3 times already.
I'm putting my money down. I don't think that line's going to be in the film.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's going to be followed by awkward silence. Yeah. So, like.
Yeah.
But as you say, that joke is like well old. Yeah. So I was just kind of like, can you not come up with something else? I'm just going, I don't know how to pee in this thing. He's like, I don't know if the suit is my skin or not. Like, there's a zip on my leg.
Funny.
What happens if I unzip that? Is that a pocket or is that my leg?
Is that me? Can I take it off?
Is that me? My bow's going to fall out. I'll be like, this is a superhero movie for me.
Yeah. I like the bit where he's charging people's phones. I thought it was quite funny.
Yeah.
He fries them accidentally. Yeah, yeah. It's like your phone's charged.
But I didn't even, when I saw that, I was like, wait, so is this going to be like standalone? Is this going to be part of it? And I like that. Like, I think it's something that Marvel get really right. I know Kevin Feige's talked about it before. He was like, right, when we do Captain America, it's a war movie. When we do Ant-Man, it's a heist. When we do Guardians of the Galaxy, it's a comedy. When we, you know, like, they feel super different to one another. And I think that's, you know, I understand superhero fatigue, but for me personally, that's what's kind of kept me interested is I've gone, oh, this one looks kind of different. Like, I'm kind of intrigued by that.
You have to keep doing that.
Right. Every DC film, you know, maybe other than Shazam, you know, that kind of thing, feels like a DC superhero film.
Tonally, pretty much.
They just
the same,
feel like mush, you know. And it is worth, like, I feel like the elephant in the room will be Wonder Woman, right? Because I think that in terms of just objective critical consensus, it's the one that by far did the most. Like, it was kind of the most popular by far. I personally would say it's the best one of the lot.
Yeah.
That
but
said,
that is not hard.
Yeah, right, which isn't saying too much. Yeah. And you know, I think that Wonder Woman for me personally, was fine. Like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think the third act is garbage. Like, I think it's awful. It's just another goopy laser fight.
It is hot trash.
Absolutely.
On a summer's day.
But I think it's notable in that, look, like, it's cool that there's a female-led film. It's cool that it's become the highest-grossing film from a female director. Like, it's like, in the real-world setting, I think it does a lot. And I think that's cool. And I'm never going to turn my nose down at that. I'm going to go, do you know what? Fair.
I think it's like, it's unfair for something like Wonder Woman to represent so much. People put this expectation of it has to be, not only does it have to be a big deal that it exists, it also has to excel above the stuff that it's going against, the kind of status quo. And I'm like, we've had so many by-the-numbers superhero movies starring, like, a nice-jawed white guy. Now we have a kind of by-the-numbers superhero movie with a woman lead.
Absolutely,
You know?
And that's equality.
I mean, like, that's...
Everyone can have an average movie.
Everyone can be mediocre. We can all be equally mediocre.
But it's like,
because we are.
But I like, you know, it's nice to see this big budget movie, you know, that it doesn't have to be reserved to an indie movie, you know? Like, I think that's cool. I think it's kind of crazy that it's taken this long to have, you know, like a black lead or a female lead. Cool. Was it enough to save the universe of that film? I think not. I don't think it was good enough to save it.
And it's not fair to put that pressure on that film, you know?
Yeah. So when I'm, you know, thinking of the upcoming films, like, I'll go into Wonder Woman 2 sort of intrigued, you know? Like, maybe I could have some fun with this little side quest in the 80s, and maybe.
You know what? But I want to talk, I kind of want to hear what a kid thinks of these DC movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I know, I'm pretty certain kids really enjoy these Marvel movies,
absolutely. Like,
from what I gather.
Yeah.
I want to know what kids think of the DC movies, because I have no idea.
Speaking of kids,
I was
just thinking about Shazam.
Yeah.
So we're not sure if Shazam fits into these DC movies.
In my head,
this is like maybe the most positive thing, but this, once again, I'm just making something up that appeals to me, so that's why I feel good about it. The image of that little boy, because he's much younger than like Tom Holland and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a kid.
Yeah, he's a kid. Mm-hmm. Seeing that kid stood next to or having a chat with Ben Affleck's Batman be quite good.
Adorable.
I'm intrigued by
that. Sign me up for that. If they do that right.
Yeah.
Like, sure.
Oh, man. What if that's a surprise cameo? What if it was a Christmas movie and he's on the rooftop, Batman shows up? Merry Christmas. It's Batman.
I lost Robin. I got fucking nothing.
He's dead.
Shazam.
He's like, you remind me of someone I used to know.
God.
Is he dead, Batman? Yes.
Yeah, he died gorily.
Most of the people I used to know were dead, so.
Please don't talk to me.
Even if it was totally, like, just a complete U-turn to have Christmas Batman.
Sure. I'm so fine with it.
I'd literally go, I'd be like, fine with it, mate.
Surprise me, baby.
At least make us go, Batman, cool.
That's the thing. I think they've lost the serialization. I just don't think that's going to work.
And that's okay. I think they should drop that.
Just start to make good individual movies.
Yeah, Batman in the Shazam movie.
Right.
Bajam. Let's do it.
Bajam confirmed.
Shazman. Before we wrap up, quick thoughts on the Aquaman trailer. All I'll say is Shark Tale. Anyone else?
I want to say that Aquaman definitely stinks of Lix Africa.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the point where it's minty. If you're stood too close to him, your eyes are going to fucking water.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't.
No, my man.
I don't think I have much else to say to that. Like, I think that's the movie. Does anyone want it? Is anyone excited for it? Because also, you talk about kids, right? I do think kids are super excited by the MCU, right?
Yeah.
The other day, like, without wanting to sound too sort of like sentimental about it, like, I was stood across the road and there were a little group of kids. They all were wearing like different masks of the different Marvel characters, right? And this was just very sweet. There's a little black kid with a Black Panther mask on, and I was just like, that's awesome. Like, that's so sweet. Like, I love
that's adorable.
That's just a thing that exists.
That's
in the
what
world.
It's for.
But you know who I don't think it registers with? Those kids. I think that the DCU, which you could argue is what they're trying to do, I think it is like kind of edgy 20-year-olds who seem the most willing to defend it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
that's
literally
so weird.
The kind of, you talked about it being cringe. The cringest thing for me at the DC premiere for Suicide Squad was the dress code was edgy.
Oh my God.
That's literally what it was. Oh, it was edgy.
I still have the ticket. I still have it.
No.
I literally wore a Marvel t-shirt. That was me being edgy. Like, I was like, that's going to be my version of edgy. But I don't know. I think from here on in, just try and make good individual movies.
Yeah.
Hopefully Shazam might be that.
Yeah. And so if King Warner Brothers is listening,
if he's,
or
if
Queen
he's,
Warner Brothers, I don't know. I bet they're listening. Thanks, lads. I'll take your advice. I think we're fine, actually.
I think these three guys know what they're talking about.
Experts.
But yeah, so I think that pretty much does it for the DC disappointment episode.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say thank you, Sammy.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, pleasure.
Thank you for coming on,
thank
babe.
You, Bertie, for being here.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you, me.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, Dean. Thank
both
you, Sammy.
Both of you say thank you to Dean.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you once again for listening to this episode of Fantastic Adventures with Dean and Bertie.
We hope it was a disappointment.
Yeah, I hope it was rubbish. I hope Sammy was a terrible guest.
Yes. I'll never come back.
Yeah, you're never coming back. But yeah, thank you so much. All the pleasantries. Be sure to maybe leave us a rating on whatever listening platform you are listening on. I'm really good at this. Thank you so much. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast too. Leave us a review. Write a little haiku. Maybe tell us who your favourite DC superhero is. I'm going to guess
was.
But anyway, yeah, thank you so much and take care.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.